You're listening to the Back Pain Podcast, episode 81, Ask Us Anything. Let's go. Welcome to the Back Pain Podcast with Rob and Dave, the only show geared specifically to help educate you about your back pain. We talk to the experts to bust the myths, break down the science, and give you all the top tips for living pain-free. So, if you're driving to work, tidying the house, or even laid up at home in pain, we have something for everyone. Hey there, folks. We've got a ton of questions and comments in our support group over the last few days, so we're going to take this opportunity to be doing another Ask Us Anything episode to clarify some of the questions we do get on a daily basis. My esteemed co-host Rob is away for this session, so I'll be holding down the fort and answering you all. My name is Dave Elliott. I'm a multidisciplinary clinic owner in Essex and practicing chiropractor. Rob and I started this podcast to get out good quality, current research-led, best practice and patient-centered care and advice out to the public in the biggest forum possible. So thank you for listening and thank you for your messages and especially your reviews. They really do mean a lot to us and they're one of the best compliments you can pay us. Okay, so we get questions most days either on Instagram or Twitter. By the way, search for The Back Pain Podcast if you haven't already. Give us a like or hit follow. Or from our Facebook support group, the Sciatica and Back Pain Support Group. Now, this is a community of over 4,000 back pain sufferers who are helping each other through tough times. It's a fantastic group. I mean, look, if you're listening and you've got back pain, it is an invaluable resource alongside, of course, listening to more episodes of the Back Pain Podcast because, you know, well, we're awesome. So, on to the show. Now, Rob has sent me the most common questions asked this week, and we are going to run through these one by one and see how we go for time. So, let's do this. Okay, number one, everyone keeps telling me to just keep moving or do some exercise. However, movement just seems to make it worse. Unsure what to do. Right, this is a great one to start off with, guys. So, more movement or starting up with some exercise is causing pain. Now, this is a super common question here and certainly something we would hear in a clinical setting most days. I suppose the first thing to talk about is exactly what constitutes as exercise in your opinion. So is this a gentle walk or is it a heavy weightlifting, high impact contact sport? You know, what is it that's going on here that you're trying to get back into? I mean, if exercise for you is very high intensity or high impact, you might actually find it hard to go straight back to your previous levels of engagement. You may really need to consider how to take your chosen sport or exercise and pare it down to basics to get you back into the swing of things whilst remaining as aggravation-free as possible. Rob shared a great patient story a few episodes back about a patient who was super keen as a rower but wasn't able to return to rowing without any pain because of some back pain. So what Rob ended up doing is breaking this down, the action of rowing, into tiny steps that gradually increased over time. I think they started just by sitting on the seat and getting one foot into the stirrup. That was it. Then it graduated onto rolling back and forth without the handles, just the legs. Then just using the handles with minimal leg movement. I mean, this took a lot of time and gradual increases in exposure to get anywhere near something that actually resembles rowing. But the most important thing is they got there. It took a lot of broken down steps. As a rower, you might think that getting your foot into the stirrup there is nothing. But if you can't do that bit without pain, you're not going to be rowing without pain. So we have to take it back down to basics and then some. So if you're a CrossFitter, yeah, you might be able to go back and you might not be able to go back and complete 100 clean and jerks. But you could certainly start with some easy body weight sofa box squats to get you used to the basics of that movement again. If you're a runner, you can start by walking for short distances, build up to an intermittent jog, then short runs, and then over more time, a full-paced run. I mean, look, anyone out there done a couch to 5K? I mean, why do you think it takes 10 to 12 weeks? It's a gradual increase over time, allowing your body to adapt. coming back from an injury is exactly the same thing here. You almost have to start as if you've never done this action before. Sometimes even further back than when you very first started this action. So take your chosen exercise, break it down into pain-free, and that's really important, guys, break it down into pain-free components and start off small. I mean, we have talked about this quite a bit in the past, but I think it bears repeating. You know, the idea of graded exposure is the same whether we're looking at returning to work, that was a couple sessions ago, or whether we're returning to the gym, returning to running, returning to boxing, no matter what it is, graded exposure is key. Now, the second thing to think about is how long has it been since you've engaged in this exercise? I mean, if it's only been a few days, then yeah, your return should be relatively simplistic if you are pain-free. I mean, muscle strength and endurance shouldn't be affected too much by only a few days off. But here's where the fun part is. If it's been months or even years since you've exercised, you may need to start from a much gentler, easier, and less taxing place. You may have been a keen gym goer competing regular deadlift sessions with heavyweights before, but if you haven't touched a barbell in years, perhaps you need to start with a more lightweight exercise to get you back into a place of strength, just like you probably did when you walked into the gym for the very first time. Remember the old adage, you know, use it or lose it? Well, it's pretty much spot on, I'm afraid. Now, this one can indeed be a tough pill to swallow and can often be more of a pride or a mental issue than an injury issue or a tissue issue. Now, if you run marathons, you might be beating yourself up about only being able to run around the block, especially if this was a real source of joy for you, or mentally, if you were a marathon runner and that gets taken away from you, that's just as hard. But you have to start somewhere. Otherwise, you may never get back to your marathon status, your deadlift status, your CrossFit personal best. You've got to start at the basics where you are pain-free. So, you have to internally accept sometimes that you need to start at the beginning again, which brings us back to the graded exposure theory. Top tips for this is to keep a pain diary whilst you're getting back into exercise. It'll help you understand what causes your pain or any aggravations. As you look back on it, it's much easier to see these patterns in behavior and the resulting pains when it's written down. Now, on this graded exposure back into exercise, yeah, there may be some slight aggravation, there may be some irritation, there may be some low-level pain. As long as you've not got a full reproduction of your pain, we should be moving forward. When you feel any irritation, aggravation, or pain, we pause, stop, reduce. So, if you want to get back to exercise but it's causing aggravation, have you reduced the load on your body enough to stop it causing problems? So this can be done by radically reducing the weight, the time that you're exercising, or of course the range of movement that you're going through, and then building that back up slowly to where you were before. Graded exposure will get you there, my friend. Look, good luck. Let us know how you get on. Question number two here. So you've mentioned a few times about how patients need to be more resilient. How can I achieve this? Cool. Well, actually, that fits. I see what Rob's done here. That fits really well with that other question. So here's the thing. We need to increase the capacity of what we're able to do. And we want to be doing this on a daily basis. Again, this is all about graded exposure to stressful stimulus, i.e. making you better at handling what you do on a daily basis. So if we think about this in a physical manner, if you can lift 100 kilograms, it shouldn't be such an issue when you have to lift 20 kilograms of shopping. If we think about this on a mental level, if you've got 50 tasks to do in the day with clarity and ease, it shouldn't be such an issue when you have to do one big task later down the road. So let's follow that, actually. I'm going to break this down into two types of stressful stimuli categories, physical and mental. Let's go physical first. So physical is really just what I've been talking about, actually, that graded exposure over time, allowing your awesome body to adapt, to grow, to strengthen, and to change in response to the stresses you're putting on it. So does running cause low back pain? Okay, Great. We can adapt your program to lessen the aggravating factors. Now, considering things like walk runs or taking a few breaks, other different exercises you can do when you're not running and doing your breaks, we could even drop a session every week and try another activity in the short term to help settle your pain. Imagine that, another activity other than running. The second part is the mental side of resilience, or the formation of your mental callus. Now, I think this might have been where you were coming from. I've already done a fair bit of the physical increase in stress. So let's talk about that mental increase in resilience and stress. So that mental callus, which is paraphrasing the demigod of mental resilience, David Goggins. It's about the change in perception and mindset to allow yourself to go through these tough times and come out on the other side. This idea about getting comfortable being uncomfortable, this is something you're going to hear a lot about if you start to go down this rabbit hole. This is how we get to know our physical and mental limits, therefore push, therefore grow, therefore improve. So let's bring this back to our back pain sufferers here. Let's say, does bending and lifting trigger your back pain? Fine. So what we need to do is get you better at bending and lifting. It's not going to happen by accident or by magic. In fact, I'll go so far as to say, because you've had issues with bending and lifting previously causing you pain, you need to be supremely confident with bending and lifting from now on. So you need to work even harder than the person next to you to get good at it. Now, this doesn't come overnight. Check out our podcast with the fascinating Donald Robertson, author of How to Think Like a Roman Emperor, and fun enough, the awesome Build Your Resilience. I'd probably start with that book. We should really get Donald back on to chat all things stoicism, pain, and resilience, actually. He is a fantastic source of information. Read anything by Ryan Holiday, particularly The Obstacle is the Way. Listen to David Goggins narrate his sometimes excruciating life story, You Can't Hurt Me. Or Can't Hurt Me. Finish that book and tell me you can't go out for a 5-minute walk around the block today. There's no way. This is a bit of a favourite topic of Rob and I, and I'm actually sitting at my desk literally next to a Marcus Aurelius quote and a Theodore Roosevelt excerpt. I mean, YouTube, the podcast world, even bloody TikTok these days is absolutely awash with more mental resilient content than you can shake a stick at. If this is something you want to hear more on, then you know, keep those messages coming and we'll start bringing in more resilience-specific guests to help. Maybe I'll even get Rob to share some pictures of his much-coveted Stoic book collection. It is really quite something. So, in the physical world, we're looking to gradually increase our exposure to physical stressful stimuli. So, like if I was in the gym, I would increase my weights over time, allowing my body to respond to that stimulus and grow. Mentally, we need to do the same. The ability to push through these stressful situations is usually created by practicing them out there in the world before we get into a stressful situation. And you know what is great, guys? Engaging in exercise is meant to be one of the top ways to create an abundance of mental resilience. That's probably enough about that. So look, next question. My consultant said in the letter that my pain is now chronic. Is that worse than acute pain? Oh, I see. Yes. So is chronic pain worse than acute pain, or vice versa? Now, often people, we talk about this quite a lot, actually. People think the difference between acute and chronic is about severity. However, it actually means, so whether it's better or worse, it actually means it's the duration of the condition. So acute conditions are sudden in onset, generally accepted as being under 12 weeks of onset. So if it happened 3 weeks ago, if your back pain started 3 weeks ago, it would count as an acute issue. But if it happened over 12 weeks ago, you know, you've had pain for 6 months, you are most definitely in the chronic category. It's a bit of a tough one, this, actually, because acute has slipped into the common lexicon as meaning severe, and chronic meaning kind of more long term, low level. So often, yes, short-term pain is more severe, but as this was in a medical letter, I think it says, especially from a consultant as well, I would wager that it's meant to convey the official medical terminology, which is the duration of your pain. Okay, the next question. Is there a best exercise for lower back pain? Yeah, do you know what? Let's use this as our last question, because this is a real easy one to flow through. So, which is the best exercise for lower back pain? I know you want a clear answer for that, but I'm going to skirt right around this in classic Dave fashion. The best exercise for lower back pain is something that you actually want to do. Now, here's the thing. Again, we've talked a little bit before about any exercise is better than none, whether that's walking, gradually increasing up to playing golf, gentle jogging, Pilates, yoga. It's been found that the exercise that wants to be done will get done. Also, look, let's put another level on this. The best exercise for back pain is something that you want to do and something that you will enjoy. Imagine that, actually enjoying the exercise that you've got to do. Bloody hell, it's a short old life, guys. We might as well enjoy a little bit of it. So if you enjoy the exercise and you actually want to do that exercise, there's a far higher chance that you're going to do it. So, something that you enjoy, something you want to do, something that you're actually going to do. So, there's no point me saying I want to start free diving off the cliffs of Croatia if I haven't got any flights to Croatia and I don't own any budgie smugglers. It's got to be something that I can start doing and realistically is achievable for me. So, yes, if I say my best exercise is marathon running, I should probably tone down that to jogging around the block. Walking even just standing for 10 minutes at a time in the living room, walking on the spot. Then I will gradually build over time with the graded exposure we've talked about already today into my marathon running. So my last point on this is probably the most fun one. Something which is goal orientated or can be goal orientated to you. Now, if you've got a reason for running, if you've got a goal at the end of it, a bit like a marathon, I suppose, you know, or a half or a 5K, and there's a personal reason to getting there, that can be a really useful tool. If you say, I want to lose some weight or I want to get stronger, that's quite an open-ended thing, and it can be very tough to know when you've achieved your goal. It can be quite, not soul-destroying, but it can be quite... I've forgotten the word. It can be quite a tough thing mentally if you never feel like you hit your targets. So create a goal and work towards it. Not just, I want to get stronger. I would like to squat 60 kilograms, let's say. I want to be able to walk into the gym and squat with the big bar in the squat rack. That's my goal. That way, you know, when you've hit it, you'll get a little endorphins rush from your brain. And we've got that positivity goal orientation. With that determined outcome, you can make a little bet with yourself. I will get to this point. That's going to help when it's cold outside, when it's a windy day. You don't want to complete your exercises. You've got that internal bet. You'll probably follow through much easier. Awesome, guys. Well, look, that's me at almost 20 minutes. So I think I'm going to wrap it up there rather than delving into the next question. I'm going to save that for Ask Us Anything Part 2. So I've already got one question for part two stashed and ready. If you've got any other questions in the meantime, if you've listened to this podcast, you've sat there with back pain, or you are a regular back pain sufferer, or someone you love, know, like, and trust is a back pain sufferer, send us your questions. We do our best to return fire to all questions. And if you're really lucky, we might even answer it on a podcast. Fantastic, guys. Do keep those reviews coming in as well. Those 5-star reviews on whichever podcast medium you choose help us stay afloat. Fantastic, guys. I really do help that. Hope this that helped this evening. Go buy those books that I talked about. Look on YouTube for Mental Resilience and Graded Increase Over Time. Apologies for my voice going halfway through this. The joys of a podcast host, eh? Over and out, guys. Have a great night.